We are in Doctrine and Covenants, and we're in section 29, and we're starting in verse 14, and we're kicking off from yesterday, and I think we go through verse 29 today, and it's talking about the millennium. So I wanted to group these together. One of the things that I have learned in seminary is there are a few lessons that it feels like I get the opportunity to repeat and teach quite a bit. And one is about the millennium, and one is about the temple and marriage in the temple. And I think the reason is because both of those I feel so strongly about and have learned to really have joy in both. And I think both are things that can invoke a little bit of fear, and or a lot of bit of fear. And that is one of the things that I have really noticed with the youth. And so I have been so excited to go through these verses in this podcast because it does make me so excited, and I don't fear. And I know growing up I did, and somewhere something switched. And one of the greatest books that I could suggest for all of you to read if you have youth that are afraid, or if you're afraid, is the book called How Great Will It Be? And the author tells about being a seminary teacher and specifically teaching this group of scriptures. And he talks about preparing for this lesson, and he put flies all over his room and things that he got that looked like maggots, and he had blood, and he had all of these, it was dark, all of these things around the room that we talk about in these verses. And let's go to these verses, and then I'll continue with that story. And so if you go in verse 14, it tells us the sun will be darkened. And I actually love, there's another verse that says the sun will refuse to shine. It's not in this section. And I love that because later in section 29, we talk about that the Lord created everything spiritually first. And I so love that truth that everything is spiritual and that they get a choice. And when we talk about Christ's birth and his crucifixion, and when we talk about his second coming, and things that the sun and the earth and the planets and the stars do, I love that it shows, it witnesses of their spirit. It witnesses of their spiritual creation and their obedience to God. And so I really love that it says the sun will refuse to shine, that even the sun knows God is its creator. And Jesus Christ is the greatest light. And so he refuses, the sun, whether that's female or male, it's not, refuses to shine. It tells us in verse 14, the moon shall be turned to blood, the stars shall fall from the heaven, and there shall be greater signs in heaven above and in the earth beneath. And that's so interesting because those are pretty huge signs. I also love the verse that talks about that the stars will be hurled from their places. So again, I love that it gives even more witness of them having a spirit. And I feel like when Christ was crucified, the whole earth was having this tantrum. They could not believe that their creator was being killed, was being crucified. So I love that. Okay, it talks in verse 15, there will be weeping and wailing. 16, hail storms. And that's, he had hail around that would destroy the crops. So the food, famine, we won't have food. Okay, 17, vengeance upon the wicked. So just that word, vengeance. But if you look at the footnote of vengeance, it says justice. And I think that's a really important distinction to make here is God is a God of law. So often when we read in the Old Testament, we think of God as a mean and a cruel God, and we really have to decipher between punishment and consequences. And that is something I really had to study to come to an understanding of. And so I think it's really important that you point out vengeance means justice, that is a law. That is not God invoking punishment on all of those who don't follow him. It is just a time that has been set that law will come into play and consequences will come into play. And it tells us also in that verse that my blood shall not cleanse them if they hear me not. And so again, it's emphasizing law will come into play here. And if they have not called out to God, then his atonement cannot cover them. That is a law. It's not that he doesn't want it to. It's that it cannot. And I think of Alma the Younger when he cried out in his head after 3 days, and that three again means complete. It could be a literal 3 days, or it could be spiritually significant in the scriptures, and three means complete. And so it was at a point when Alma was done suffering and he cries out, it was enough suffering that he would cry out, "Oh, Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me." And that was gone. And he talks about the joy and the peace that filled his soul. And so we have to, everyone has to cry out and acknowledge him, the Savior, and accept that gift, or it does not cover their sins. Okay, 18, flies. It talks about maggots that will come. Okay, that's pretty descriptive. He had those all around. The flesh will fall off their bones. Their eyes will fall from their sockets. And he had fake eyes around. It says in 20 that beasts of the forest will come and devour them. And then in 21, the great and abominable church shall be cast down by devouring fire. And I think of the great and spacious building. Okay, it will all fall. And he says that abominations at the end of that verse, abominations shall not reign. So it's an end of all that wickedness. Okay. All right. So he does, the seminary teacher has all of this that has written this book, How Great Will It Be? All of this set up around his room. And he says the kids come in and he says it's having the effect that he hoped. He had spent all this time on this lesson to really drive home this fact of all of these signs and all of these things that would happen before the second coming. And he said, he was so thrilled. He said there was just this silence and it was just palpable as they were like, oh, and you know, yuck, and not even expressing a whole lot, just this silence. And he said, finally, he was having them read the scriptures. And he said, just this feeling started to come in. And he said, it was kind of this uncomfortable feeling. And finally, he called on a girl to read one of the scriptures and said, called on this girl and said, how does this make you feel? And he said, all of a sudden, I realized it was like the Spirit had been screaming to me, look, look. And he said, I finally looked at this girl and he said she had tears in her eyes. And she said, it terrifies me. And he said, the Spirit so strongly said to me, you have missed the point of this entire lesson. And the reason he wrote this book is that he changed his whole way of teaching this lesson. And it's such a great book because he has outlined, he has found every scripture in the scriptures that talks about the second coming. And it's beautiful the way he has done it. So I would really recommend it. Again, it's called How Great Will It Be? But I remember teaching this and saying to my students, starting with, how many of you have someone in your life that you wish knew the gospel truth, accepted the gospel truth, accepted the Savior and his atonement? How many of you have someone you pray about and worry about? And every single hand will go up when I teach this. And I'll never forget one of my students saying, I so wish and pray and fast that my dad would accept this. And it so touched my heart that her person she most worried about was her father. Well, as we went through the lesson, I said to the kids, okay, how hard have you prayed and fasted for this person? Have you shared scriptures with this person? Have they gone to church? Have they done this? Have they done that? Have you done this? Have you done that? And I said, do you think there are people on this earth who will not listen to the prophet and apostles, who will not hear the prophets and the scriptures, who will not be touched by your prayers and your fasting? And not everyone's hands go up, but the point is there are people who that does not affect for whatever reason. And it's not so that we judge them. We don't know what's gone on there in their life to make them feel that way. But I said, okay, so let's think of those people. Do you think that when the sun is darkened and the moon turns to blood and the stars fall from the heavens, that maybe some of them will turn and say, wait a second, I remember hearing something about this. This is different. Do you think some of them might start to listen? And they kind of started to nod. And I said, do you think a lot of people might ignore that and explain it away and think that's weird and just not think anything of it? And they start to nod. So then you go to the weeping and wailing and you go to the hailstorm that destroys the crops. Do you think that there are people whose hearts will be pricked when there is no food and we are praying to find food to eat and we're having to share food with other people who are starving? Do you think that they might start to listen, that they might start to pray to God, that they might start to have their hearts soften and they start to nod? Well, as you go through those things, do you think that there's still people whose hearts won't be penetrated? That there's still people like Laman and Lemuel that's hearts might be hardened? Okay, then you go to flies, then you go to maggots, then you go flesh falling off the bones and eyes from their sockets. And you say, as you get down, earthquakes and storms and floods and all of the things, COVID, do you think that a just God who so wants us back might allow those things to happen so that our hearts will be softened and he can gather as many as he can gather as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings and bring them back to his heavenly Father, so that he can be the advocate, so that they will call on his name, so that they will accept his atonement and come back? And don't we all want that? Don't you want that for that person that you've thought of? Wouldn't you pray with all of your heart for that person to come back, just like Alma's father prayed for him? And I love this quote from Brigham Young that says, all we have yet heard and we have experienced is scarcely a preface to the sermon that is going to be preached. When the testimony of the elders ceases to be given and the Lord says, come home, I will now preach my own sermon to the nations of the earth. All you now know can scarcely be called a preface to the sermon that will be preached with fire, sword, tempest, earthquakes, hail, rain, thunders and lightnings, and fearful destruction. But the point is, it is all for love. It is all because he wants us back. And it is all because it is the time of judgment and the day is gone. And those who call upon Christ and accept his atonement will be brought back, and those who do not will not. And God wants all. I love that it talks about in 22, I say to you that when 1,000 years are ended, so this is the end of the millennium, that men again will deny their God. And that kills me. Can you imagine 1,000 years of living with him and having those in spirit prison being preached to by their family and people who love them, that are pleading with them to listen and to change and to turn to Christ, but yet there will still be some who will not. And as unbelievable as that is, there will. And God is a God of law and justice. And those laws have been irrevocably decreed from the beginning. And so we know that. And so very few, I've once heard an institute teacher say, that those in outer darkness who refuse him will be so few. And they have to have a sure witness of who he is and willfully turn against him and not call in his name. And it's unbelievable to us. And it should be unbelievable to us, because that should be unfathomable that anyone would choose not to accept his gift and follow him. Okay, it tells us that the earth and the heaven will be cleansed and all become new, and not one hair will be lost. And that's in 25. And all of those who are balding love to hear that. I don't know if that's literal. It must be that our bodies are perfected. My husband is bald, and I always think, I don't know that I want him with hair. Tells us that Michael will blow his trump and the dead will awake and the graves open. And we know that we will live with those who have passed on. And the righteous will be gathered to his right hand and the wicked to the left. And when it says, I will be ashamed to own them, that just means he can't. That is the God of law. He can't. He will not be allowed to advocate for those who will not accept his gift. So that's a heartbreaking thing. That's sad. And then they will be told to depart in 28. Depart from me, you cursed, into an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And 29. And now behold, I say to you, never at any time have I declared from mine own mouth that they should return. For where I am, they cannot come. For they have no power. And I just love this, because truly what it preaches is that God is a God who wants all, who loves all, who will do all in his power to get everyone to claim his gift. But in the end, if after all of that horrible, awful stuff, they aren't humbled, and they can't call on his name, then it's done. And it should turn our stomachs, because, yay, we can't believe anyone wouldn't. I so love that knowledge that our Heavenly Father loves us that much, that plan was put into place, that he wants everyone back that much. And we just have to pray that we are faithful and have courage enough to stand with him as it unfolds. I so pray we are. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.